Have you ever felt like your apostolate has been lacking direction? Listen in for how to find apostolic direction.
Welcome to A Word from Our Outpost
with Joseph and Crystal Gruber,
a podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling to be missionary-minded in their normal everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Direct, O Lord, our actions by thy holy inspiration, that every word and work of ours may begin in thee, and by thee be happily ended. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. So, friendship.
Friendship.
We have so many thoughts about friendship.
We brainstormed a bunch.
We did. In fact, we were going to try to record a podcast the other night, and we ended up just talking about all the different things we want to talk about friendship.
We could have recorded that. It would have been like a very long teaser trailer.
Yes, but you said you didn't want this to be too meta.
And no.
That would have been very meta.
True.
But I think we've settled on the first friendship podcast to record.
Which we are now recording.
Yes. So, we want this podcast for people who want to be missionary-minded in their normal everyday lives. And one of the things we've found is that having a friend on the journey makes a big difference, but not just any friend. A friend with whom we can have intentional conversation about discipleship.
Right. And by discipleship, you mean how we're following Jesus and also how we're helping other people follow Jesus.
Yes.
Perfect.
So having an apostolic life.
Mm-hmm. Because last podcast, the drama of prayer, that was the soul of the apostolate. That
mm-hmm.
was the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
Having a real relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it spills over to neighbor.
Yes.
Great.
So from love of God flows love of neighbor, and we love our neighbors better
when we actually think things through.
And when we're not doing it alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of background. We come from a tradition, if you want to call it that, from FOCUS, a Fellowship of Catholic University Students. It's been around for about 20 years now, and I've been with the organization for about 10. And all throughout that time, every week, sometimes every other week, I would have meetings with a supervisor, which we would just call a one-on-one, in which we would have these intentional conversations about my mission on the college campus. And I found that to be actually really helpful. And when I became a team director, I would have these conversations with my teammates. And I would also have these conversations with any students who were at the point where they felt like they were actually, decided to be disciples of Jesus and made the decision to act more intentionally to make disciples of Jesus. So I'd have these conversations with them. And we came to the parish, and I don't have teammates in the sense that FOCUS sent me with some other person, but I have a wife. And I had this realization that what I had been doing with my teammates and with students was something that I could do and probably should have been toying with my wife all this time.
And this has been a big game changer for me, as I've realized, as I've transitioned from working and having a job description to being at home with children, that a lot of times I've felt sort of directionless. And as we've started to talk more intentionally about direction, it's helped me bring more structure and thoughtfulness to my day.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a bit of a lack of purpose because I've had a lack of the space to talk about being intentional about my day and about my purpose, and whether that be making disciples of my children or figuring out just how to live my everyday life.
Or who to reach out to, or what kinds of awkward conversations you have to have. and how to have them.
Mm-hmm. And how to actually enter into some of those conversations that in hindsight I can say, oh, I wish I had this conversation with that person in the past, and I just wasn't wrestling through those things out loud with anybody. So realizing now there's value to that has been great.
Mm-hmm. So in the focus world, we call these one-on-ones. For the purpose of this podcast right now, we're just going to call it apostolic direction. So we have easy language for a director and a directee. Otherwise, it's really confusing because there's no, we're not proposing that you, our listener, are in any kind of hierarchical structure already. You may be, in which case, great. But if not, we're just going to talk about director and directee, so we have clear language for this podcast.
And this is something that we really believe can be done with peers. So oftentimes when we think about director versus directee, we think about somebody who's our superior. But we want you to think about, is there a peer? Is there somebody in my life that's in a similar place as me where we can take turns being in these roles to coach each other, champion each other along, encourage each other, but also have the space to be listened to and to wrestle and hash out why you're doing what you're doing.
So we'll use the language of director and directee for the next half hour, but this is not to undercut the fact that this is something that you can and possibly should find a peer with which to do this, with whom to do this. So we started having these one-on-ones. So maybe we should talk a little bit about what the director and the directee do in a one-on-one.
I like it.
Okay, great. Do you want to start with the director or the directee?
Let's start with the director.
Perfect.
So first thing with the director is that the director needs to be asking questions.
Your dad has a really good line that you quote often. And what is it that he says?
Ask why 5 times.
Uh-huh. So to actually ask the questions so that the other person can do the digging on their own. Being in this role in the conversation, I'm not expected to have that much critical thinking power while I'm in this role. I'm just supposed to be there asking good questions.
Good question asking does require some critical thinking.
It does require some, but not the level of I'm here to solve all your problems.
Right. And I think that leads to another point, is that the director should not be offering solutions unless they're explicitly asked for.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people have the solutions within them, and oftentimes better solutions than you might come up with on the spot as the director, because you don't have the full picture in the way the directee does. So another rule then is listen. Listen well to what they're saying. You'll be able to listen more if you're asking questions and not offering solutions.
Yeah, you don't have to use up any part of your mind. I don't have to use up any part of my mind problem solving if I'm just thinking, actually, I need to understand this better. If I don't understand this well, then if they do ask me for a solution down the line, I'll actually be in a worse position to offer it if I don't understand. And one of the best ways to check to see if I'm actually listening, something that I need to do as a director, is to restate what she has already said. So to just verify, so you're saying you had this issue with this person and it made you feel this way.
And this is really interesting because I know when Joseph does this with me where he'll restate what I said, I start to see things more clearly. And even though I get the sense that he feels a little bit silly saying back to me exactly what I just said, It really does help me see in what spaces am I being a little bit ridiculous, and in what spaces do I actually already have the answer within me and I just didn't notice. So having things restated back is very helpful.
Just as a real quick aside, if you, our listener, are currently of the camp that this restating of things really has no impact, this is what the ending of C.S. Lewis's masterpiece Till We Have Faces is all about, is when she hears her own complaint, everything changes. It's not just, you know, feel-goodery, interpersonal skills, workshopping. It just, for some reason, hearing from somebody else that which we have already said is a very powerful thing.
And oftentimes the temptation when somebody has finished telling you something is to say, oh, this is just like when I da 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 da, and it's not just like when you whatever.
Which leads us to the thing that a director should keep in mind. Don't say, this is just like when.
So this isn't about you relating a story. And I know it's tempting, and I know it feels like you're being relatable, but that's not what this time is for. You might have time in your friendship to share stories and share similar experiences, but when you're sitting down to sort of give and receive this apostolic direction as a director, it's not time to share a story about, and especially in the context of saying this is just like when, mm-hmm. because it's probably not just like when.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are places for storytelling in this kind of a meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a point, it's like, can I just tell you a story to illustrate what I mean? That's something different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also usually preceded by the other person, the directee, asking for the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last, are we up to the last thing for
yes.
the director to keep in mind?
Mm-hmm.
Pray with them. Pray with them when you start. Pray with them when you end. When they bring something heavy or they bring something that they're struggling with, take a moment to bring it to our Lord in prayer.
And you can even stop and do this in the middle of this time. If there's something where you're feeling, oh, Lord, I don't have a good question to ask, or, oh, Lord, I don't know what to say, or, oh, Lord, I don't know where this is going to go, just say, can we just stop and pray about this together right now?
Because believe it or not, the God of the universe actually does know what's going on and does actually know what would be best.
Just as a little, like, asterisk disclaimer, we forget about this a lot.
This is, like, one of the top 10 things we forget about, along with the existence of Satan and how he wants to kick our butts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when we remember, it helps.
Mm-hmm.
So just to summarize, top things for the director to keep in mind, ask questions, don't offer solutions unless they're explicitly asked for, listen, don't say, this is just like when I... dot, dot, dot. Restate what's already been said and pray with them.
I feel like if I actually did that reliably, that would make a huge difference.
This is going to be great.
Yep. Okay, and then for the directee, with somebody coming to another person for this kind of a conversation, things for them to keep in mind. So if I go to meet with my wife or with my boss, things that I should keep in mind, I should really try to pray before going to that person to pray about what I want to bring to the table. The Lord can speak to me in prayer then and there, in which case I don't necessarily need to bring up the issue if it's already been given a good solution from God. But it also shows that I understand that God can speak through other people. And it will make me more attentive to the other person if I know, like, I've actually already given this to God, and he can use whatever instrument, including the person with whom I'm talking, to bring about resolution.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think that brings up the next point, come with questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really helpful if you come to this meeting saying, hey, I've been leading this Bible study, and I'm not really sure what to do with this person next, or I'm not sure how to handle this particular situation,
mm-hmm.
Or whatever the question may be, to bring a problem to the table that you need help wrestling through.
And that leads very neatly into the next one, which is to be vulnerable. Bearing a problem, bearing a question, means essentially saying, I lack. And that's a vulnerable position to be in. So the directee is coming in a place of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the state in which they're entering into, then it's not really the kind of conversation that we're talking about.
So for the directee, this isn't a time for you to show off or feel like you need to be perfect or feel like you've got it all together. Rather, this is a time to come and say, this is where I don't have it all together and I need help. And so keeping that in mind, as well as you're thinking about who do I want to have this kind of meeting with, knowing that this is somebody that I can come in that place of vulnerability.
Another thing to keep in mind for the directee, don't slip into gossip or the illegitimate complaint. So we come to somebody else for these kinds of conversations, not to vent, not to let off steam, not because we're filled with juicy information about what's going on at the parish or what's going on at work or what's going on in our small group. It's because we actually desire somebody else's insight into the situation so that we might act more appropriately.
And I think the sort of, shall we call it, attempted holy form of gossip often looks like, well, this person said this, this, and this, and this, and this, and can you pray for them? And just leaving it that, you probably didn't need to actually share all of the details. You might say, hey, can you pray for a special intention for this person in my Bible study? Or, you know, this person's in a difficult place. I think I need to serve them. Can we pray together right now for this situation?
But primarily, we're bringing the problems about our relationship with that person. Like, there's an obstacle to my loving them appropriately. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do next. I don't know how to challenge them or comfort them or be challenged by them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much more about us and our relationship with them.
So if you find yourself talking too much about the other person and not enough about how you can change, how you can be transformed, how you can be made holy by encountering this person, then you might be slipping into the gossip department.
Which is what we're recommending that you not do.
Another thing to keep in mind is for the person that is in the for the directee, bear with the imperfections of the person that's being your director in the moment. And if there is something that in that role of director they're doing that's really bothering you or being not helpful to you, you need to tell them and be specific. So this is another place of vulnerability for both of you, but being able to give a very particular example. So you might say, oh, you know, I told you I had this problem and you just started offering me solutions and telling me about times when you thought you had similar experiences. And I actually need you to ask questions and listen. And give a very specific example about a time when they did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is the kind of thing where in the moment, that might not be the time to stop. It may be. We're going to trust you as our listener to be prudent. But in the moment, to realize I'm very vulnerable right now, which makes me extra sensitive to the imperfections of other people. And so I need to know that even if the other person isn't doing everything ideally, what they're offering is their time, they're offering their headspace for me to enter into so that I can figure out more clearly what my next steps are. And that is a gift. So even if it's not the prettiest gift, even if there are imperfections, it is still a gift to be received.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things for the directee to keep in mind.
So just to summarize the things that we mentioned, praying before you go into this meeting time about what you want to bring to the table, coming with questions and be willing to be vulnerable, don't slip into gossip, and bear with the imperfections of the person directing you at that time.
So we should probably talk about like the content, the form of this kind of conversation. Because form matters.
It does.
It gives life, I think. Animating principle.
I think that it does. So, I think it's important to say with this, I think stating ahead of time what the content is going to be is important. we're going to suggest something that we think is good content, but there's probably
other things to talk about.
Yes.
Presumably.
Presumably. And so don't feel like, oh, if I'm going to do this, I should do these things that they suggest. No, but do decide ahead of time what it is you want to talk about and
what are the topics that are most pressing, most
in your particular situation, in your particular state of life.
Yeah. So generally, I like to talk to people in these kinds of one-on-one conversations, these apostolic direction conversations, about the love of God, the love of neighbor, and the love of self. And what do I mean by that? With love of God, to ask them about how their time in prayer is going, if they're actually bringing their problems to God, if they're actually listening, if they're making the time regularly for prayer. Because if they're not doing that, that's usually like the biggest issue. Because if we're trying to be missionary-minded and we're not praying, then we missed the first step. And what happens if we don't take the first step? We didn't actually go anywhere. So love of God, love of neighbor. So asking about the different kinds of neighbors we have, our literal neighbor. So we could talk about, you know, have we reached out to our neighbor? Have we, you know, what can we do to show a little bit more love towards them?
And this might be, if you live in a house, literally the neighbors that live next door to
you. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
It could also...
Or in an apartment, the people who live right next door to you. You share walls, most likely.
I think this also could be for somebody that's in a cubicle, the person that's in the cubicle
right.
next
door. So other kinds of neighbors would mm-hmm. be the ones at work.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors, the people that we're in line with in the grocery store, mm-hmm. The people with whom we spend our leisure time are our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But to begin with, our literal neighbors, because Jesus was actually talking about our literal neighbors, like first and foremost. He then tells the story of the Good Samaritan, which is the story of one drawing near, one who actually becomes more neighborly, more nearly. And so that's the next question, like, who am I called to draw near towards? But it's usually the people that we see day in and day out, or week in and week out, the people in the pews next to us, left, right, front, back. They don't usually change from week to week. They are our neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and we are called to love them in particular ways.
And to reiterate that first point of love of God and prayer, when we're spending time bringing this love of neighbor, really this apostolate, to the Lord, we start to see more clearly where he's asking us to give more generously and to step more outside of our comfort zone. And sometimes where we just need something as simple as kindness and smiles.
But this is why it's so good to talk to somebody else about it,
mm-hmm.
because it forces us to actually examine these different relationships,
mm-hmm.
because somebody else is now asking, so how do you love the person who works with you in that project? You know, how are you loving the people that you see at Mass?
Mm-hmm. And I find I'm actually more disciplined about really taking these things to the Lord in a more thoughtful way when you and I, Joseph, have had a conversation about the different people that I'm encountering in my daily life.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one, so love of God, love of neighbor, love of self. To have some time, because we're talking about meeting with a friend, meeting with somebody who desires our good, to have some time to air out our goals, our vision, our hopes, our dreams, and to talk to them and let them ask questions about the obstacles that we're seeing. Now, many of our friends are probably not experts in the same fields that we are, and so our goals may not really align, but to have a fresh perspective,
mm-hmm.
I think, is really helpful.
And if nothing else, a cheerleader, to somebody to encourage us in these areas, to say, I believe in you, I see your passion, I think it's worth you pursuing that thing, I might not actually be able to give you practical advice to help you move forward necessarily, but let me help you think about where you can get that so that you keep taking steps in that direction. Mm-hmm. And this one I think is really important because, I mean, I've lost this one a lot, and I'm realizing as I'm starting to reconnect with the things that I'm passionate about and the things that bring me to life, that I actually like prayer better. And I actually have more to love my neighbor with. And not that I should do this love of self piece so that I can do these other things, but it helps me to be more fully human. And it helps me to understand more fully who God created me to be. And I don't think very many people would argue with the fact that in Catholic culture today, what we need is personal holiness. And part of personal holiness requires understanding more fully, who did God make me to be, and how can I pursue the dreams and the desires that he's put on my heart? And so to have a bit of time to flesh that out mm-hmm. is really important. It also tends to drive the love of neighbor piece.
Well, I mean, oftentimes they're pretty intimately connected, mm-hmm. Which is a nice piece. But also, it's good to end on this one, because it is the opportunity to be a cheerleader, to be the voice of hope when the directee maybe has lost a little bit of hope in self. And that's just a really great position to be in, mm-hmm. to end on a high note. I heard from somebody recently who has been through spiritual direction training, and he was told to always leave your directee with more hope than they came in with. Now, we're not saying that this is spiritual direction. That is a far cry from what we're saying. We're saying having a real nuts and bolts conversation about who we're called to love and how we're called to love them with somebody who desires our good and wants to lend a listening ear, not spiritual direction. We think that we have a high opinion of spiritual directors, and we desire that there be more spiritual directors out there. But we also noticed the sort of poverty in friendships that lack these kinds of conversations. Even in our relationship, that there's been a bit of a poverty in the years that we did not have these kinds of conversations as often. They would come up more like as we're brushing our teeth at bed, prior to going to bed. We don't brush our teeth in bed. Nobody does that. It's ridiculous.
So I think this brings up the next point that we wanted to discuss.
Why we didn't and don't always have one-on-ones, have apostolic direction, you and I.
Some might argue, in fact, that we maybe even kind of avoid it.
Ah.
So I think part of this might be because the devil is real.
Oh, yeah. That's like one of the top 10 things that we forget.
Yes. We didn't even make a real list of top 10 things that we forget because we knew we wouldn't remember them all.
But that one's there.
The devil is real, and I don't think he likes us being intentional and thoughtful about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Also...
Yep. Oh, go ahead. Yours first.
Well, I'm not good at this.
Oh, yes. I wanted to say that, but I wanted her to say it more.
But really, you are better at it because you've practiced it with your teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you step into the director role and we're talking about apostolic life, it's really helpful for me. And when we switch roles, I feel like I kind of am crappy at it. But I also haven't practiced very much yet.
Yet. Uh-huh. And I am your guinea pig on this one. And so the other thing is just in general, it is a position of vulnerability. And if I can avoid vulnerability, I probably will.
So it's not all my fault.
It's not all your fault. No. And this is a reason. These are reasons why people might avoid these kinds of conversations themselves. Go ahead.
Well, I also think so we do a fair number of sort of family meeting things, and when mm-hmm. we've told other friends about them, they've often said, "Oh, that feels too business-like for my relationship with my spouse." And I think that there's the same sentiment with friendships as well. Like I work all day. I don't want to. So. I don't want to step into this sort of businessy role with a friend. I just want to be friends, and I want to have fun, and I want to relax. But I think the thing that we've found is that our sort of fun, relax kinds of times are actually richer when we have a clarity of purpose and when we get to really know each other on a deeper level when we have these more intentional conversations. So I think that a lot of times people avoid these, whether it with a spouse or with a peer, because it feels too businesslike and we kind of feel turned off by that. And mm-hmm. But I think our experience has actually been quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is the thing, like when people say that structure is somehow inimical, unfriendly toward relationships, like it's not organic to have structure. Like those are the kinds of people who have never really examined an X-ray, right? Structure is part of being organic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell your tomato story?
Oh, the tomato story. So I tried to grow tomatoes for the first time this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And a kind woman in our parish was helping me get things set up so I could plant all these. We were given a bunch of tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And she sort of laughed at me as I was planting them very close together. They were these tiny little plants and they were so cute. And I thought I could fit so many of them in this flat bed that she made me, raised garden thing. And they got gigantic.
Uh-huh.
I was totally blown away by how huge they got. And of course, they were falling over and then they kind of stopped growing and were stunted in their growth. Well, then one day we came home from a trip and I had asked the woman that helped me start with things, take care of the garden while I was gone. And there was one of those tomato cages around one of the plants when we got back. I'm assuming it was her that put it there. Could have been anybody. Who knows? Anyway, so there's a tomato cage around one plant. And this one plant, it grew incredibly. And it was, I don't know, 7 times bigger than all the other plants.
Just a guess.
And it was a prettier green. And it grew way more tomatoes. And it made me realize that when the plant had a bit of structure, it grew so much more. And it made me realize how often in my own life I've stunted my growth by saying, I don't want structure. I don't want to be caged in. Whereas when I saw this tomato with this cage, it was the very opposite of caging it in. It didn't stifle it at all. And so it made me realize the importance of structure. So
that takes place in a relationship too.
It does. And I find that my friendships that have a bit of structure and a bit of intention to them are far richer, far more fruitful, beautiful friendships.
Well, the structure also gives it direction, right? Like mm-hmm. it allowed it to grow upward.
Mm-hmm.
None of the other tomato plants could grow upward.
Mm-hmm.
That was a direction they could not have without structure.
Mm-hmm. And it grew outward as well. It got wider.
The other ones tried to grow wider.
They just fell over.
Yeah.
And died.
Yeah.
And made like 2 tomatoes.
But structure gives direction, and I love that about this, because it's a direction. It's not like, oh, it gave it a direction that it could have had. No, this was a direction it could not have, without which there could not have been this direction without structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vitality, the fruitfulness. And all we're proposing right now is in our friendships to introduce a little bit more structure, a little bit more of, can we talk about these things, these 3 things, love of God, love of neighbor, love of self, in that order, together.
And it's exciting and it's terrifying.
And then who should it be with?
So we've talked about how we do this together. So it can be with a spouse.
Can be.
And if you have a spouse with whom you can have this sort of apostolic direction time, we recommend that. We enjoy it. It's challenging. It's
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a spouse that is not on the same page spiritually that you cannot do this kind of conversation with, or you might not have a spouse at all. And so we would suggest finding a good friend.
That wasn't supposed to sound melodramatic. we know there are priests, there are religious, there are single people, there are young people who don't have spouses, and it's not a tragedy.
Did it sound tragic when I said it?
It sounded tragic to me.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it to sound tragic at all.
I didn't think you did.
No, I was just thinking about all the lovely people in my life that I would like to listen to this podcast, that I like to talk with, that don't have spouses.
Mm-hmm. For various reasons.
Yes.
So, sorry, that was a bit of a tangent.
So, finding a good friend.
Finding a good friend. And sure, it's that easy, right?
I don't think it's that easy at all. But it's possible.
It would be an awkward conversation to bring up. That I can pretty well guarantee. Like, can we have an intentional conversation wherein you listen as I talk to you about my relationship with God, with neighbor, and my own self? Like, that in itself is a vulnerable thing. Likely we have a sense from our friendship with these people. Are they good listeners? Are they people who are quick to offer solutions? Are they people who can be trusted with somewhat sensitive information? Like, can they keep their confidence?
And now is running through my head so mm-hmm. many of the things that we said we wanted to talk about friendship.
Which we will talk about in the future.
Which we will. But I guess the one thing I do want to say on this note is be creative in your thinking about a friend. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a friend that's the same age as you. If you're in a place where, you know, there aren't other Catholics your age, is there somebody that you have admired at church that you think you'd like to have a friendship with that's older than you that you think might be interested in this kind of conversation? Is there a friend you can call on the phone or have FaceTime conversations with that mm-hmm. lives across the country? But to think of somebody, to ask the Lord to bring somebody to your mind. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've talked a lot about as we've been brainstorming for this podcast is that we don't want this to be something that people just listen to when they're doing dishes or driving in the car, but rather we want to give people ideas of things that they can do to live a missionary life. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully this is something that you can do. Maybe this means asking a friend to listen to this podcast and see what they think about it.
And seeing if they'd be interested in being in the role of a director, or if they are in need of a director. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a bit of a trap wherein somebody might be in this position of director for several people and yet have nobody to whom they can be with whom they can be the directee. So they're the person receiving other people's problems and listening and being all wise and sage-like, and which describes my life at various points, right?
Something like that.
But not be in the position of being vulnerable and having to talk through issues and difficulties and obstacles oneself. So don't do that. Find somebody that you can trust. Mm-hmm. And actually trust them. Don't just find somebody that you can trust and say, well, that's somebody that I could talk to. Actually talk to them, mm-hmm. you know? And can you meet with more than one person at a time for this kind of a conversation? Could it be like a two-on-one apostolic direction kind of thing? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. It might be even more fruitful that way. You've been going to this kind of phone call. Do you want to describe that briefly?
Yeah, so I'm part of a mastermind group for my natural family planning work, and there's five of us in the group, and we each come to the table with one question, and then everybody takes a turn offering feedback to that question that's been asked. So it doesn't have all of the elements that we talked about, but it is with a larger group of people, and I found it to be really helpful and fruitful in terms of sort of problem solving and idea sharing and learning where other people are at. So certainly something that can be done with a group of people.
Yeah. And again, we're calling it apostolic direction for the purposes of recording the podcast so that we have a name for it. Call it what you like. You don't have to call it apostolic direction. You might be wondering, though what it can look like practically. You mentioned doing it over FaceTime or Skype or just the phone. So that's an option.
Yes, although real life is always better.
Yeah.
Finding a place where you can have a little bit of privacy. So if there's like a coffee shop in town that has booths or something like that, that would be nice. In your own home is great. But finding a place where you have the space and the privacy to talk it through.
As far as how long these conversations should take, I mean, we are asking for a gift of another person's time. And so we want to be respectful of that. That being said, I would always try to allot for at least an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I try to convince teammates of mine in years gone by that we only really needed 45 minutes, and we would always take a full hour.
And something that I often forget is I feel like when I start doing this, because it's something new and it's something I haven't done before, I feel like I have to talk about everything in the first time we get together because we might never get together again. And that just doesn't need to be true.
Oh, that explains why it was so bad early on.
Okay. What if it never happens again? I got to get it all on the table right now.
That's a guaranteed way to get it to never happen again.
And so this is where if you can determine a length of time and you can determine a frequency, then you can say, okay, I can't solve everything in this very first time that we do this. So I'm going to bring one question to the table. I'm going to bring one problem to the table. And I can make a list of all the other things I want to hash out eventually. And hopefully we will keep doing this and we'll get to some of these other things. But oftentimes just one thing at a time makes a big difference. I think that's what I've really liked about the mastermind group that I'm part of is I only get to ask one question.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really have to think ahead of time, okay, what's the one thing that I can focus in on that's going to make the biggest difference?
We should also probably point out, you don't have to commit right away with somebody, like before you even meet once, to have these kinds of apostolic directorial kinds of conversations. Hey, let's do this every week, or hey, let's do this every other week, or fortnightly, as I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You can have these conversations more organically and see how they go,
mm-hmm.
and then say, hey, can we meet, you know, Wednesdays at lunch, or can we meet Thursday for coffee mid-morning,
mm-hmm.
or can we get an early morning breakfast on a Friday and have this conversation regularly? Because I found fruit in it.
Mm-hmm.
So to not load all of the eggs into the basket of the first time we find somebody who's willing to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is similar to finding a spiritual director or a counselor where the first couple of times you meet with them, they're sort of one-offs, like, we're going to try this once and see how it goes. And if it goes well, then we try it again and see how it goes. Also kind of like dating. And then not until you've had a couple of times where you've had this conversation and it's gone well, do you say, okay, let's commit and we're going to meet every week and we're going to take turns every other week talking, or we're going to meet twice a week and each hash this out,
mm-hmm.
Taking a turn each week. Or we're going to meet once a month and take a turn every other month, or whatever the thing may be. But I love what you said, Joseph, of, okay, we want to get to a point where we're able to have a conversation and commit to some sort of regularity for some length of time. But we can do this a couple of times first.
And why do we want regularity?
So that we can... I don't know. Why do we want regularity?
I think it's part of the structure thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can actually grow when we have regular conversations in these kinds of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And accountability. I'm much more accountable for what I said my goals were last week if I know that I'm going to be talking about them again this week.
Mm-hmm.
But if I think, well, maybe we're not going to talk about it, then I maybe won't do it because
mm-hmm.
I think I'll get away with it,
mm-hmm.
even though it's only hurting me. See, it's one of those weird sort of psychological loops that doesn't make any sense, but I get into.
Mm-hmm.
But I get out of them if I know, hey, she's going to check in.
But it may take time before you get to the point where you have that confidence and that structure to be able to know that check-in's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's okay. as far as our outpost is going, when we have these meetings, when we have this sort of apostolic direction kind of thing, I feel a lot more clear. I feel a lot more encouraged, and I feel like I generally don't suck at life. So that's positive.
Yeah, it does make a big difference when we have these sort of apostolic direction meetings. I think maybe the ones that we have will go better now.
I'm very hopeful. And if they don't, I know what to listen to. Anything else to add?
I don't think so.
All right. So real quick summary. If you have a really good friend where you can talk about love of God, love of neighbors, love of self, to have a time set aside specifically to do that, to talk about obstacles, to talk about goals, to talk about life. If you can find that, it will be a game changer, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can be in a reciprocal relationship where you meet with them and then they meet with you, you direct them, they direct you, that's really sweet. There's something really awesome about that. If you find somebody that you can talk to about your problems, and there are people who want to talk to you about their problems, that's okay too. You just don't want to get to the point where you're just talking to everybody about your problems or just listening to everybody else's problems.
Mm-hmm. Both directions.
Both directions. I need it. Crystal apparently needs it, which gives me some reason to think that it might be a human thing to need that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it.
I think so too. Shall I pray?
Please.
The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for this conversation. Lord, I just pray for our time of having these apostolic direction meetings, and for anybody that might listen to this podcast that might take a step out and give this a try. I just pray for courage, for wisdom, for patience. We ask all these things through the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Take my hand, let's be on our way. And now, finally, I can say that I love you. Yes, I.
From our outpost to yours, thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's Skoch.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.